Okay. It's a real simple motion. What I want you to do is I want you to do this. Kind of move around. You ready? But and you'll recognize the song. You ready? Okay, here we go. Go. Three blind mice, see how they run, see how they run. All right, that's enough. That's it. Okay. You got the point. That's really a bummer because the second video was one of my favorites, but we were going to have a video of the three blind mice. I'm not speaking about mice this morning, but what we are talking about, if you could see the screen, would be a big eye and talking about living with your life with your eyes wide open. First of all, some shameless advertising. Sue's going to hate me because this is her favorite yogurt place. This morning is my swan song. This is my last time that as an elder of this church I'd be speaking to anybody here up front. And so most of you are probably thinking, so why are you wearing that stupid bright green shirt? Well, this is for Sweet Frog Yogurt. My son happens to work for the company, so this is shameless advertising for them. But also, they're a Christian company, and they fully rely on God. And to do that, you have to have your eyes wide open to see what God is doing in your life. So is this mic on? We working good? Awesome. What I want to do is, being this is my last time to come up and teach as an elder, is I want to take you back into my history here. I've got a long history with the church. I was dedicated in this church. I have my first communion in this church. At the age of 5, I would walk down from Hill Street by myself, dressed in my suit for Sunday school with Jeannie Hill. And I would meet downstairs, like our kids do today, and would have Sunday school. One of my favorite memories is the kids' Christmas pageant. I was always the third shepherd, would stand in the back with, you know, the crook and the robes on and the fake beard that always looks stupid. And just thinking in between the two services, I didn't talk about this in the first one, but, you know, we just lost Treva Ray here on this earth, but she's with her Heavenly Father now. And Treva used to live right at Beautiful and Hill Street. And my recent history with the church is we came back in 1991. Oh, outstanding. How did that happen? Somebody better get on there and get ready to shut it off. Thank you. You're great, Lord. We're going to be talking about his timing this morning. But we came back in 1991. I got out of the Marine Corps in 1985, didn't know what to do, came back to the island, worked for a little bit, and I had a deputy come up to me and say, you know, you were an infantryman in the Marine Corps, so you really don't have any job experience. And I was planning on flipping burgers somewhere. I was actually cooking at the time. And he said, why don't you put an application in for the Sheriff's Department? I went, okay. So I did. Lo and behold, they, for some reason, decided that they wanted me, so I joined the Sheriff's Department. During that time, my mom had had an accident. She had fallen through a skylight. She was helping my dad with construction, and she was in the hospital, so I left the island, and I went up to Paso Robles where they were, and February 12th, 1986, I received a phone call from a friend of mine here on the island, and he said, hey, your background investigator called. And at the end of the conversation, I asked him, well, is he going to get the job? And he said that, yeah, it looks like you're going to get the job. And I said, great, thanks. Hung up with him, and I was getting ready to go to the hospital. My brother was at work. It was raining outside, like cats and dogs. Putting on my shoes, the phone rings. It's my dad. He says, you need to get down here now. They're working on your mom. It doesn't look good. So I raced as fast as I could, 12 miles down a country road, picked up my brother, and then we raced down the grade to get into San Luis Obispo. If any of you have gone down the grade, it is very steep. And when it's raining, the way it was, I've never driven down it sideways, but we did half the way down. And we get down there. My dad's standing out in the parking lot, out in the rain, in a T-shirt and jeans, just soaking wet. And met us with the news that we had lost our mom. Later on, I talked to my dad when my brother wasn't there, and he says, you know, your mom and I were talking just before we lost her, and she said, you know, I worry about Doug, who's my little brother, but I don't worry about Bert because I know he's got the job. And I told my dad, I said, that's really weird because nobody really knew until my buddy gave me a call and said that it looked like I got the job. And I said, and you're telling me at about the same time I was talking to him, you were talking to mom, and she said that I'd gotten the job. How'd she know? We can look back in our history of our lives and we can see where God has touched us. We can see where God has worked in it. I went into the Sheriff's Department Academy. The only reason why I made it through was the memory of my mom knowing that I was supposed to be there and that God had his hand on me. I'd been in the Marine Corps. I was a tough guy. And what the academy scared the crud out of me. You had these guys that were in your face. I mean, boot camp in the Marine Corps was nothing with these guys standing in front of me because they can fire you. And that's what scared me the most. Marine Corps, you're stuck. You're not going anywhere. I made it through there, and when I did, I had left here to go to the academy on the mainland. I said, I'm not coming back. I don't want to go work a small town where I know everybody. Well, God had different plans. 5 years later, three openings in 3 months, which at that time never happened over here, and I got hired to come over to Avalon. My wife had a career with the phone company. It was 11 years in her career, and she quit her career to come over. We moved our year and a half old boy over here, and here we sat. Well, I remembered a conversation I had with Dennis Holt just before he left for Russia, and we were talking about how he'd gone and kind of gone to college. God has really used this island. He calls people back here. If you've talked to anybody who have lived here for some sort of time and have left,
what happens?
They come back at some point, not just to visit, but to live. And I see a few of you that have done that. And it's amazing to see what God does with that time because he uses this island as a time to teach, as a time to bring you close to him, as a time to prepare to send you out. Dennis had gone off to college. Well, now he was getting ready to take his family and move to Russia. And I said, yeah, you know, that's kind of weird. I wonder why he called me back, because here I am. And I swore I'd never come back here, especially as a deputy sheriff. Well, my attitude when I came here was not a good attitude. I had an attitude to survive over on the mainland. And it's a type of attitude you have to, it's a survival instinct. You don't need that here. It took God 3 years of changing me to put me where he needed me here, to be able to work with me. You hear from up front here all the time how we need to be reading the Bible. The Bible is our instructions. I'm an elder at this church. I have a hard time getting into the Bible because I'm one of those learners that I can't learn from reading. I would rather watch a Bible story on TV. I'd rather hear it. I'm a touchy-feely type of learner. I need to have my hands on something. God meets us where we are. And if you look back at your life, you will see where God has met you, where you were at certain points. God teaches me through putting me into an experience. Had you told me when I came back here that I was going to join the church, I would have believed that. That I was going to be in ministry at the church, yeah, I'd believe that. That I was going to be in leadership, forget it. I don't want to be in leadership. Now, don't ever say that in front of God. Because guess what? God put me into leadership, and he used that to teach me. He used that to form me, to mold me, to shape me. God has met me where I am and has used my experiences to teach me what he needs to teach me and to move me to where he wants me to be. Let me share some verses with you. First of all, Proverbs 16:3. Commit to the Lord whatever you do and establish your plans. You may have something that you want to do. You give it to God. If that is God's desire for you, God is going to make that happen. He is going to go before you. He's going to work out the details, and it will happen. In Proverbs 16:9, it says, "In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps." So again, here in this verse, we see who is in control. We might make the plans, but God is in control, and He is going to take care of the details. Proverbs 20:24 says, "A person's steps are from the Lord, so why try to understand everything along the way?" Have you ever looked at your life and questioned why something happened at a particular point? And if you sit there and you try to think about that and maybe even overthink it, what does it do? All it does is frustrate you, and you can't figure out the answer. All we need to know is God's going to go before you. If you try to understand everything that's happening in your life, you're going to go nuts. You want to sit back. And you want God to take control. You want God to drive. Remember the old commercial from the Greyhound buses? Okay, sit back, leave the driving to us. That's what we want to do. We want to put God in the driver's seat. We need to fight the human instinct to take control. When we take control, what happens? Do we make messes of things sometimes? And the reason why is we're sitting there struggling with God. God wants us to go one way, and we're trying to go the other way. And we tend to make messes sometimes. We need to understand also that God's timing is not necessarily our timing. What are we like now? We have cell phones. We have cell phones that are computers. We have computers. When we press the button, what do we want to happen? We want whatever it is we're doing to happen now, right? We want everything now. God, I want to do this. He may not want you to do it. So what's that going to do? It's going to frustrate me. I want it now. Now is when I want it. God's timing isn't necessarily ours. He shows us through that. He shows us who's in control. One of the tough things that we have now compared to when you look in Old Testament times is we have communication with God. We talk about praying and conversing with God. We don't necessarily hear him like Moses heard him, right? You read about Moses, and Moses had this voice coming to him. The other thing they had is they had prophets. Let's give you some examples. First of all, Aaron. Aaron and Moses brought clear word from God to Pharaoh. This is exactly what's going to happen if you do not let our people go. That was straight from God. The Pharaoh was being spoken to from God through Aaron and Moses. Daniel was saved from the lion's den from God. God had a purpose for Daniel. Daniel was to interpret the king of Babylon's dreams and to tell him what God wanted him to know. We've got Isaiah. Isaiah is known for the prophecies of the Messiah. He brought the word way before Jesus came about Jesus' coming. Samuel had the distinct pleasure of being the prophet for two kings, for King Saul and King David. We don't have that these days. We don't, you know, we may get somebody say, "Hey, God gave me this word for you." We may get some of that, but we don't have somebody standing on the street corner saying, "Hey, God told me to tell you this." So sometimes it's hard to figure out what God's got planned for us. We don't have somebody clearly telling us what's going on. Some people do receive clear and concise word from God. Others have no clue what God's plan is for them. And you know what? I can raise my hand to that. I could not tell you 2 years ago, let alone 20 years ago, that I would be moving to Texas. Had no clue. Now, last service, Earl was sitting back there, and I got a big, "Why? Why move to Texas?" Talk about that in a little bit. When we open up our eyes and our ears, we listen to what God has to say. We look at what God is presenting to us. We'll see what God's doing in our life. We need to ask ourselves if we're really listening to what God's telling us through other people and through His Word. We'll see what God wants us to see in the Bible. We'll see what God wants us to see through our lives. And we'll have people speak into our lives and confirm things. We need to open up our eyes and see what's happening to us is from God when God presents that opportunity to us. When we're trying to plan things in our lives, we need to look at two things. Is this just an opportunity that's presenting itself? Or is this God presenting an opportunity to us? Quite some time ago, a few years back, I had a conversation with somebody from this congregation that had a big decision to make. They had a life-changing experience coming up, an opportunity that had been presented to them. And they didn't know what they were going to do. They didn't know whether they should take advantage of it. They weren't sure what God wanted them to do. And sometimes when you have a big decision like that, you become apprehensive. You become confused. You overthink it. And as we're talking, God gave me these simple words to just pass on, and it was, you know what? Take a step. If God opens that door, that's where you're supposed to go. If God closes the door, you're not supposed to do it. But take the step. At least take that step. It's easy words to say. It's a hard thing to do. That person took the step, changed their life forever. Changed their life forever. When we're considering an opportunity, we don't want to be hasty. We want to give that to God. We want to pray about it. We want to see what God wants us to do. And we need to make a decision. And again, that decision could be either taking that step to go through that door or not. Let me show you a video.
Work, work, work. Nobody takes time to stop and smell the roses. Hey, so Jack, we're smelling the roses.
I'm going to tell you from personal experience. One time I was smelling the roses, a big bumblebee stung me on the nose. So, hey, from then on, look here. You can smell the roses, but, hey, smell them quick, or a bumblebee's liable to nail you.
Take the time to stop and smell the roses. Don't wait too long because you may get stung on the nose. I had to do that. We're moving to Texas. I started watching this show and fell in love with it. Earl Roof says, yeah, they call it a reality show. It's actually more like a sitcom. But we need to remember that we need to constantly keep our eyes open to the opportunity that God presents us. And we need to pray and look for confirmations to show us the answers. We need to look at, do we expect God to do miracles every day in our lives? Cy there is one of my favorite people on TV. He makes up words. And I have a t-shirt that has a picture of him on the back, and it says, hey, it's scientistic stuff. And of course, during that episode, they teased him about, you know, scientistic isn't even a word. I looked it up. It is. It really is a word. My wife says it wasn't a word in the dictionary until he came around. But I looked up the word miracle. And when we think about miracles, what do we think about? We think about Jesus turned water into wine. Can you do that? I can't. Jesus walking on water. Can you do that? I can't. How about the biggest one of them all? Jesus being born. God coming to this earth as man to present himself as a sacrifice for us. Those are miracles. That's what we think of as miracles, right? You know the definition of miracle is intervention by God? That's all it is. Intervention by God. Where in your life has God intervened? I know it's happened a lot to me, especially lately. Those are miracles. We have miracles in our daily lives where God has intervened. He's maybe put something on your heart or a word to give to somebody. He's intervening in that person's life. That's a miracle to them. And by any means do I not want to take the big word miracle and make it something very simple, because it isn't. You know, only God can do these things. We can't. It is something big. But it can be done every day in your life or in somebody else's life. God's promised to care for us. We need to let him do that. We need to open our eyes and see what he's doing in our life, and we need to act on that. And we need to acknowledge that that's God doing that. How many times have you sat down to pray over a meal and you thank God for that provision? God provided that for you because you got money from your job or from wherever, and it bought that food. Well, you know what? You got money for that food. Where'd that come from? Maybe from work. I can tell you my work came from God. What I'm living on now came from God. I wouldn't be in this position if I had anything to say about it. The other thing that we need to do is, I truly believe that in evangelizing, it's not just bringing verse to someone and reading out of the Bible to them. It's also bringing experiences to them and talking to them about your life. It's creating a relationship, and it's talking about how God is active in your life. What has he done for you? When you bring examples to someone, it shows a living God. Some people can say for sure that God is their provider. Others can't. You need to see how he provides so you can tell others about that. How has God provided for you? Where has God put you in your life? Did you ever expect to be living on Catalina Island? Did you ever expect to have maybe the house that you're living in? 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." You can convey to someone the hope that you have through using more than verses. You can tell them about you. You can tell them about the practical ways that God is involved in your life also. Treva Ray lived, as I said, up on Beulah and Hill Street. And as a leader in the church, she held many positions. One of the things recently she held was moderator at the age of 98, I think. Moderator is a very important position. And what you rely on a lot of times from your moderator is the history of things. So as elders, as we're talking about maybe directions that we feel that God wants the church to go, the moderator can bring history of where the church has been to you, especially somebody that's 98 years old. Well, Treva liked to remind me of a little bit of my history. And most of the time it was me as a toddler showing up in her backyard in my diapers. But she did bring a lot of history to us and showed us where God had moved in this church. And it's important to be able to see that, because that helps us see where God is taking us and to build visions. It gives us something to be able to tell people about. Why is it that we know that we have a hope that Christ is involved in our community? We have that hope because we have seen where God has moved before. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." We have seen in Old Testament times where the hand of God has come down, swept civilizations away. But on the other side, you've also seen where God has picked up people and saved them from themselves. About 2 years ago, maybe even a little bit farther back, we were planning on moving to Washington when we retired. I didn't plan on retiring until I had about 30 years on the department, 2016. About 2 years ago, things started to change. My son got married, married a girl from Texas, moved to Texas, and had a little girl. So now we have a granddaughter down in Texas. Boy, did that change everything. According to my wife, Texas is the only place we're moving to because that's where the granddaughter is. So we started looking at Texas, and then also my health started getting bad, and we made the decision that I wasn't going to go 30 years. We need to start looking at retirement now. And we started looking at properties and different things. I had an idea of I wanted a piece of property. When I grew up in Paso Robles, we had a 40-acre parcel. Not a lot of work to be done on it. And so I wanted a parcel of property. So we found one online. When we were visiting, we went over and we looked at it. Well, what we also did is we went to a friend's house, and he has 122 acres. And he took us out and he showed us, drove us around the acreage, and these huge 100-year-old oak trees are down. And he said, yeah, we had a tornado come through here. He says, now I got to get a chainsaw and come out and cut these trees up and clear them. Right then I went, don't want property. I don't want to work that hard. Plus, my wife reminded me, we're doing this in retirement. You're getting older. Do you want to actually go out and, you know, work the land? It's like, no, no. So we talked to a real estate agent. The real estate agent said, well, you know, you guys like old houses. Take a look at this one house. My wife goes online, doesn't even get to that house. She gets to another one, and she looks at it. She goes, oh, I like this. And we started looking at it. Comes on an acre of property with a lawn. You know, nice and easy. 110-year-old house, built solid. We said, you know what? We just know this is meant for us. God brought that into your vision. So we prayed over this house. We claimed this house in the name of Jesus. We said, Lord, we believe you have showed this to us, and this is where you want us. We took that step through the door. Swung wide open. Doors started flipping open. You can ask anybody that was around me that at work, it's like I started getting excited. I was telling everybody about this house. Look at the pictures. And doors just started going wide open for us. So obviously we're now starting to look back, and I said, you know what? God, you know, God's teaching us to take that step. And I remember for all those years, he wasn't just teaching that person through the words that he gave me about taking that step through the door. He's been teaching me that also. We need to take that step and look at what's happened once we did that. The other thing we learned was God's perfect timing. When we bought the house was supposed to close on the 21st of December. What happens on the 25th? Everybody's closed. It's Christmas. Well, the 21st of December was a Friday. So you have Saturday and Sunday that everybody's closed. Well, in Texas, we learned Christmas Eve, everybody's closed. Christmas, everybody's closed. So if you don't get the closing of the escrow on Friday, guess what? Now you have to wait almost a week. You have to wait until Christmas is over. So we're on our way down to Texas. Closing's supposed to happen on Friday. We get down there. Closing's not going to happen on Friday. It's not going to happen until Wednesday, till the 26th. Well, that would be okay, except for we had stuff in storage for 22 years on the mainland. We've already put in a truck and we've shipped to Texas. Guess when it was supposed to be there? The 21st. So guess what I did as human as I am? Oh, man. You couldn't contain me. I was just so worried. What am I going to do with 800 cubic feet of stuff and no place to put it? We got a hold of the owner. He said, you can put it in the garage. Don't want you in the house, but you can put it in the garage. Well, we get a phone call from the driver, and he says, you know, I'm sorry, my truck broke down. I'm not going to be there until the 26th. No problem. No problem. You know, and the interesting side note to this is the guys that move that stuff for us, every single one of them are Israelis. Maybe God working through his people, right? Well, we're there at the house the morning of the 26th with the agent. Still hasn't cleared escrow. Truck shows up. He goes, I'm sorry, I can't unload yet. I don't have anybody to help me. I'm waiting for him. Okay, not a problem. In the meantime, you know, when they show up, we're going to have to move this stuff in the garage. We don't own the house yet. First guy shows up. He goes, hey, the second guy couldn't make it, so I'm making calls trying to get the second guy here. I said, not a problem. Second guy shows up. Truck driver goes, we're ready to unload. I said, thanks. My phone rings. I pick it up. I go, hello? Congratulations. You own the house. Thank you. In the house. I look at Cindy. I'm going, okay, Lord, I've learned. Perfect timing. I got it. I mean, it was split second timing. As a human, we're not used to that. Me, I'm used to planning things weeks ahead of time. Boy, can you imagine how I was? I was a mess. God took this and had absolutely perfect timing all the way through. Had I not been looking through open eyes through what was going on, I would have missed that lesson. I learned. And it's like, Lord, I will never doubt your timing again. Please, you don't have to teach this to me again. We need to go through life with open eyes. It's good for us because we know how God's taking care of us, and we can sit back in that comfort and know that. And we can also teach that to others. For those of you that read the Daily Bread, thanks, Cindy, you sent me a text, and now the Daily Bread's gone. Electronics, I love it. Yesterday's Daily Bread is talking about divine diversions. In the middle of it says, think of Joseph. God diverted him from Egypt to prepare him to rescue God's chosen people from starvation. Or of Moses, who was diverted from the luxurious lifestyle of Pharaoh's house to meet God in the wilderness in preparation to lead God's people toward the promised land. Or of Joseph and Mary, to whom the angel announced the most significant diversion of all, Mary would be with child, and this child would be called Jesus. Any of these people plan any of that stuff that was going on with them? They didn't. God diverted them. He changed their path. He led them in a different direction than what they were planning on going. Had they not opened their eyes, they wouldn't have seen it. And if you think of Jonah, what happens when you still struggle and try to keep control? He didn't plan on being in the stomach of a fish for that long. You know, he eventually gave in to God. But God changes our plans. He diverts us. And we need to have wide open eyes to know that. This past year, God's been showing my wife and I who's in control. And if we let him, he's going to lay out our paths before us to be able to travel down. We need to be looking with wide open eyes. We need to have that look of a child, that awe. And yes, that's my granddaughter. I had to put her up there. Actually, I had another picture. My wife says, okay. We need to have open eyes. We need to let God lead us around as we were led around as children. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you teach us to be willing to adjust our plans, to conform to yours. We know you have greater things in store for us than we could ever dream. So help us to patiently wait on you to work the circumstances in our lives. Allow us to see your provision for us. Allow us to see just how much you care and love for us. Allow us to see that all we have to do is let go of the reins and you've got it. Father, allow us to also be able to teach that to others, to tell them about the hope we have. And that's, we've got a father, we have a daddy that takes care of us. We love you, Lord. Father, I thank you for the wonderful time that you've given us here and the experiences. And I praise you for moving us on to phase 3. We're going to miss our friends. We're going to miss this place. But we know you have great things in store for us. And I'm excited. May we all be able to see that within our lives. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.